So what's happening this week?
Have you ever seen laser beams in the sky?
What were you thinking?
I find an opportunity to lick Richard Wilkins.
Okay.
Interviews and discussions and all sorts of interesting things.
107.3
2SER.
I didn't see it coming at all. On the hook, long tour. Plow the furrow, pull the colour from my eyes. Jump the balls in this.
Blake Scott, thank you for taking some time out to have a chat here on The Band Next Door on 2SER. Congratulations on the release of your solo record, Nishitam, I believe is the pronunciation. And a translation, yep. I think, is for being confident in yourself. Do you feel revitalized now that you have like a record that I guess sums you up as a person out there?
Yeah, I think, there's a lot of doubt throughout the creation of a record from, you know, beginning to write it and then right through recording it and that sort of thing. And, you know, there's a lot of doubt. And you're very, yeah, should I do it? Is it the right thing? Is it working? And, you know, and then I got to the point where, yeah, I was really happy with it. So, yeah, it was a bit of an affirmation, the title. It's a Sanskrit word, which, you know, my partner brought to light for me. She's right into sort of yogic philosophy. So, yeah, it seemed fitting to, now that it was all finished, to sort of confidently go forth and release it.
Your main band, the Peep Temple, has been fairly inactive since about 2017. And, of course, your bandmates have been playing in Shepparton Airplane for the past couple of records. And they put out yep. an album this year as well. Did that help guide you into the momentum of working on your own purely solo material?
No, not really. No, okay. It's, they've got two records out now, those guys, since, so I think they're on their third record and two since the Peep Temple pulled up stumps, but no, it feels very separate. I mean, obviously, you know, we're very close. We still remain, you know, close friends. Yeah, their stuff comes out on the label that mine does. So, you know, we're linked and we're all sort of looking out for each other and that sort of thing. But, you know, I was just sort of slugging away on my own. And, you know, I would like to have certainly got it out earlier. But, yeah, there was no sort of external inspiration or motivation to get it out. It was just a case of, you know, doing what I could when I could and getting it out as soon as possible.
I know that Melbourne's been in a pretty heavy lockdown for the past couple of weeks, maybe even months.
Yep.
Do you
yep.
feel more creative now that you can't leave your room or your house? Do you feel like then you have to focus on writing and making music?
Not at all. I do struggle with any record I ever make until it's actually released. I find it really hard to actually move on to something else. It's just something I've never really been able to do. So, you know, I sort of clunk away on a few things and I still do creative things, like just little bits and pieces. But yeah, I haven't really been working towards anything. And no, I certainly don't find the lockdown inspiring.
So when someone says to me a solo record, I either envision someone that's written and performed it themselves, or it's just a name that they put out the front for them to know whose music it is. Did you try your hand at write and perform like every single instrument on the record?
No, absolutely not. I did write a lot of the songs on the bass, but I didn't play the bass on the record. Nick Finch came in and played. Some of the songs, he just sort of rejigged them or, you know, improved them in some sort of way. I did play bass on one of the tracks, two of the tracks actually, Fever and Pressure, but Nick sort of jumped on guitar for those, which is good because, you know, I've never played bass on a record. But no, I mean, I'm a really shit drummer. In fact, I wouldn't even call myself a shit drummer. I just don't have the coordination for it. And, you know, JC's such a fantastic player. You know, once I started working with her, I was really able to sort of envisage where the songs needed to go to complement her playing and that sort of thing and really sort of make it all sort of fit together. But there was a period where I thought, oh, yeah, I'd really like to produce this record myself. And maybe I thought, well, I did think that when I finished up, we went on to hiatus with the Peep Temple, that I might go into production. But, you know, I just know now that that's not something I'll ever do. I don't have the patience or the inclination anymore. I learned with this record, I thought that I was just going to put it together piece by piece. And I can't do that. I can spend time writing a record, but when it comes to the actual recording and production of it, it has to be done in a set block of time. Otherwise, I never finish anything. So, yeah, there's a lot of unfinished and scattered demos of this record recorded around there until we actually finally went into Phaedra. So, no, to answer your question, no, I wrote it. I certainly had a lot of ideas for what I wanted with different instrumentation and that sort of thing, but, you know, leave that to the pros. And if it hadn't have been such a personal record, I would have come up with a band name, but, you know, it just made sense. It's quite a personal record about, you know, my life at present and my life has been.
So you mentioned trying your hand at playing bass and writing music on bass. How different is that for you for writing on guitar? Because from what I remember, your playing style is that you're not much of a pick player. You just like to hit the strings with your fingers. Does that translate into the same realm of playing bass?
Very different. Yeah, I play the bass very differently. I actually, you know, I got this beautiful little Ibanez bass. I think it's like an early 80s thing. And it just sounds so incredible. So I would just, you know, just sit there and just plunk away at it. A lot more restrained. And, you know, I try to get my groove on, you know what I mean? Try and pretend, you know, sort of purse my lips and, you know, nod back and forward and try and pretend that I'm in the pocket. But, yeah, it was just nice to do something different. And, you know, it wasn't a deliberate thing where I was like, oh, look, I'm not going to write these songs on guitar. It just so happened that I had the bass set up and I had a mic set up and I would just sort of walk through the room, pick up the bass, plunk a few lines out. And sometimes I'd put down, you know, a heap of riffs just back to back and then go back a couple of days later and listen and see if there's anything I liked and, you know, hum a few lines over the top of them. So it was certainly a lot different than writing on guitar. But, yeah, I really enjoyed it. And, yeah, something I'll look into again, I think.
Having a very groove-based album, does that mean that for the moment you kind of think that you're done with punk music?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, I think the last Beat Temple record was sort of quite groove-based. It was heading in that direction.
Yeah, for sure.
It just didn't feel at the time that we were going to make another record with the Peep Temple, so it was like, well, okay, well, let's take a little break. Whether we do that in the future, I mean, we got together sort of, I can't remember if it was late last year. Had it not been for COVID, we probably would have got together and had a bit of a play and a few beers and just see what happens and whether that had led to anything, but we just haven't had the opportunity. So, no, I'm certainly not giving up on being loud and obnoxious just yet, but we'll have to wait and see.
You worked with a different audio engineer in a different studio for this album compared to where the Peep Temple normally records. Was that an intentional step for you to communicate that this is not a Peep Temple album?
Maybe more for me. As it sort of started to close in on getting ready to record, I just felt that it needed to be different. The personnel in the band were different, and I thought, well, maybe take that a little further and just sort of make it its own thing, out of my comfort zone a little bit, which is not really, you know, I don't know that being out of your comfort zone is always a healthy thing, but it seemed to work work this time. And in saying that, you know, John was an absolute pleasure to work with. You know, such a fantastic communicator and a great talent. I really felt as though the record was being steered in the right direction from the moment I got in there. So that was great.
The first taste of the album that we got was Fever, which we've kind of briefly talked about just before. A tune that touches on the issues of alcoholism and the effects that it has on one's mind and way of life, something that I can relate to because when we had our own lockdown here in Sydney, I did kind of feel myself spiraling out a bit. Is that something that you've had to deal with during COVID as well?
Oh, yes and no. Look, I wouldn't say I've been on a massive binge or anything, but yeah, you're certainly dealing with boredom, so you know, have to keep an eye on it. You know, there's a lot of stuff on this record that I probably don't really want to wheel out into public, but it's there, what I mean? When I'm writing a record, I'm not thinking about what questions I'll be asked down the track. So sometimes it's like when the record's coming out, you're like, oh, here we go. So yeah, look, you know, booze has been ever present in my sort of adult life, especially being around music and that sort of thing. And it's something that is so entrenched in and ingrained in our society. And also, you know, when you stand back and look at it, it's quite ridiculous, you know, that we, you know, there's some sort of strange encouragement and enjoyment in drinking what is, you know, essentially poison. So it's, I don't know, that's sort of what that take on the song is, and the strange relationship that I've had and, you know, Australian society especially has. So that was the take on it in that song.
So the record's out now. What plans do you have, if any, for the next couple of months when it comes to either writing or just performing in Melbourne?
Well, I don't know that it's confirmed, but I think I have a performance in late November. I'm doing an outdoor thing. I don't know the exact details, but it looks as though that'll be sort of tied up in the next few days. But other than that, no plans really. I mean, when it looks as though I can get in a room with the band and it looks as though there's going to be something, you know, go and perform at, we'll sort of do that. But I don't want to make too many plans. It's not like we're playing all the time. Like a band that's together and touring all the time, it's different, you know, than what it is for us, because we've never done a live show before. We need to know that it's going to be sort of worth our while and our time to get this thing together.